take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is the Ides of March. That's right, it's Tuesday, March 15th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We're coming to you live and direct from beautiful, sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. We are ensconced here at the headquarters for CannabisRadio.com and getting a lot of great work done here in the sunshine and the clear blue skies and beneath the orange trees. It's so different than Portland right now, I'm telling you. Portland's all gray and cloudy and wet and yuck, and here I am in beautiful Scottsdale. We got a great show for you coming up today. All sorts of new breaking information in the marijuana movement to get to. Today for our guest, we have an activist agenda segment. Kevin Mamalji from National Normal will be joining us. He's the guy that took my job as National Outreach Coordinator after I left it to do the Russ Belville Show. So kind of neat to talk to the guy who's got my old job. He's here today to tell us all about National Normal's latest membership drive program. We're going to be a big part of that too, helping to get people registered and get people involved in the marijuana movement by putting your money where your mouth is and supporting the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. This is the year to get involved, folks. 2016 is the watershed year in marijuana legalization. This is the tipping point, and every dollar helps. So they'll have a special where you can sign up and join National Normal at a special reduced rate. We'll talk to Kevin about that at half past the hour, so stay tuned for that. Also coming up on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant where I'm going to talk a little bit about how Oregon seems to be merging its medical and recreational marijuana programs and why I think that is a great idea, long overdue idea, as a matter of fact. So stay tuned. We'll talk about that toward the end of the hour. Also on the show today, in drug war data mining, we've got some new information from the World Health Organization. They monitored 42 different countries, not including the United States, to determine the rates of teenage marijuana use. That would be among 15-year-olds all throughout Europe. There is a new king of teenage marijuana consumption in the country of Europe, so we'll tell you which one in drug war data mining. Also on the show today, in Behind the Headlines, right after our headline news, we've got an interesting poll that came out from Vox.com. They asked Americans about drug scheduling and got their opinions on drug scheduling. You'll be fascinated to find out that people don't actually know marijuana is a Schedule I drug. I know we do here at the show, but in the general world out there, most people just don't know. So it shows again how much education we have left to get to the general public. But that education starts with our cannabis radio news. And in the headlines today, coming up after this very next break, we're going to talk about the breakthrough in the phase 3 clinical trials for GW Pharmaceuticals' Sativex, or Epidiolex, I should say. We've got news coming out of the state of Pennsylvania, where they are fighting for a medical marijuana bill there. Lots of amendments being proposed for that as we speak. We've got to look back at the state of Ohio and the roadblock they're facing in getting medical marijuana on the ballot through their attorney general's office. We've got an update on those Santa Ana police officers who, during the medical marijuana raid, were eating edibles. We'll tell you what charges they're facing. We've got some federal and Denver police raids on illegal marijuana grows in the city of Denver, and a pro football player putting his money where his mouth is when it comes to studying marijuana for CTE and brain damage. All coming up today on The Russ Belville Show.
This is The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary. CannabisRadio.com.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the new era.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
I hope everybody's got their vape pen handy or their pipe or their bong or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't, it's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, March 15th, 2016. An experimental cannabis-based drug has successfully treated children with a rare form of severe epilepsy in a keenly anticipated clinical trial, more than doubling the value of its maker, GW Pharmaceuticals. The study of GW's Epidiolex in Dravet syndrome is the first of four final-stage Phase 3 epilepsy trials, with results expected this year, that the drug maker hopes will confirm the therapeutic benefits of cannabinoids, the active ingredients found in marijuana. GW said on Monday the 120-patient trial showed patients taking Epidiolex achieved a median reduction in monthly convulsive seizures of 39%, compared with a reduction on placebo of 13%. The difference was highly statistically significant, and optimism about the drug's future sales sent shares of GW up 125%. In light of the positive data, GW would now request a meeting with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to discuss its plans to seek regulatory approval for treating this particular form of epilepsy. There are currently no FDA-approved therapies for Dravet syndrome. Medical marijuana has cleared a major hurdle in the Pennsylvania state legislature with state house approval of an amendment Monday night. The Pennsylvania state senate months ago passed a medical marijuana bill, and Monday evening the house approved a comprehensive amendment to the senate bill crafted by a work group assembled on the issue. Democrat Joseph Petrarca said the group concluded medical marijuana is a tool for doctors to help people, saying, quote, "It was parents wanting to help children. It was doctors wanting to help patients," end quote. But Republican Matt Baker delivered a marathon speech arguing against medical marijuana, in part because he contends there is not enough independent scientific study. Quote, "Just because you call marijuana medicine doesn't make it true," end quote, Baker said. The House must still take a final vote on the amended medical marijuana bill, and if that passes, it will have to go back to the Senate. The first stab at getting a medical marijuana amendment on Ohio's ballot has failed, but organizers of the plan say they're not surprised. Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine found three defects with marijuana policy project's ballot language, which it submitted this month after gaining the necessary initial 1,000 signatures. The AG's office found errors related to the number of large-scale cultivation sites being proposed, as well as sections dealing with identification cards and driving vehicles while under the influence of marijuana. Mason Tvert, spokesman for the Washington, D.C.-based Marijuana Policy Project, said the group expects these types of edits to its initiatives and factored it into its calendar. The group has, from the start, planned April as the start date to gather the nearly 306,000 signatures it needs to put the amendment on the November ballot. Nearly a year after three Santa Ana police officers were accused of consuming edible marijuana during a pot shop raid, the Orange County District Attorney's Office filed misdemeanor charges against them on Monday, but said there was insufficient evidence to support the most serious allegation. Brandon Matthew Sontag, age 31, Nicole Lynn Quijas, age 37, and Jorge Arroyo, age 32, were each charged with one misdemeanor count of petty theft on Monday. Sontag faces an additional charge of one misdemeanor count of vandalism under $400. There was no evidence that any police department personnel consumed any edible marijuana items available at the dispensary, the DEA stated. If convicted, Arroyo and Quijas face a maximum sentence of 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine, and Sontag faces 1 year and 6 months in jail and a $2,000 fine. Denver police and federal drug agents raided multiple illegal marijuana grows Tuesday morning as part of a two-year investigation. No one has been arrested, and police did not face resistance at any of the locations as officers executed search warrants, said Denver Police Commander Marcus Fountain. He would not say how many sites were raided or the amount of marijuana confiscated. The grow sites were across the city, including in residential areas. The investigation is ongoing, Fountain said. Thus far, law enforcement has not identified any connections to gangs or cartels, he said. Police continue to have people to interview and more locations to investigate, he said. We will keep you posted on any updates from the Denver raids as they become available. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, March 15th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
It's time for cannabis facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, I want to take a look at a very interesting poll that I found on Vox.com. And the poll, the article, I should say, says Americans have no idea marijuana is in the same legal category as heroin and LSD. Now, this is something we cover a lot on the show. We talk all about drug scheduling. And just a quick reminder, the United States Controlled Substances Act is a series of schedules upon which different controlled substances are placed based on how dangerous they are considered to be and whether or not they have a medical purpose. The most restrictive schedule is Schedule 1. That's the one that says there's absolutely no medical use to that substance, and it's very dangerous with a high degree of abuse potential and unsafe to use even under a doctor's supervision. That's Schedule 1. Schedule 2 through 5 are all drugs that have some sort of acceptable medical use in decreasing levels of possible addiction, possible abuse, and the safety in use. So anything that's on the schedule, 1 through 5, is something you have to have a prescription for, except you can't get a prescription for Schedule 1 because it has no medical use. And as we know here on this show, cannabis in the United States Controlled Substances Act is listed as a Schedule 1 drug. Despite the fact we have 23 states with medical marijuana, despite the fact that the United States government owns numerous patents on the medical use of cannabinoids, despite the millions of people that get medical benefit from cannabis and the thousands of years in which people have gotten medical benefits from cannabis, none of that matters. The Controlled Substances Act says marijuana Schedule 1, no medical use, high potential for abuse, unsafe to use even under doctor supervision. Now, of course, this is ridiculous. And almost anybody you talk to would recognize that that's ridiculous. There may be some disagreement among people about whether or not recreational use of marijuana ought to be legalized, but it's damn near unanimous at this point, somewhere in the 80 to 90% range of support for medical marijuana. People understand cannabis is a medicine. But what they don't understand is that cannabis is not regulated as a medicine here in the United States. They asked people about 8 different drugs. They asked them about marijuana, psilocybin mushrooms, acid, ecstasy, Molly, or MDMA, ibogaine, cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamines. And they asked them 2 questions. They asked them, where do you think this drug is scheduled? And then they asked them, where do you think it should be scheduled? All of the other drugs they asked about, the people were pretty well educated on. For example, psilocybin mushrooms, 37%, the overwhelming plurality of people, said that those are Schedule 1. And then when they were asked what schedule they should be in, 37% said Schedule 1. Now, I personally disagree. I think there are very beneficial medical uses to psilocybin mushrooms, and science is just beginning to uncover those. But when it comes down to where they thought it should be in the schedule, the answers for where it currently is and where it should be were damn near identical. Same goes for LSD. 44% said it's currently a Schedule 1 drug. 44% said it should be a Schedule 1 drug. Again, I disagree. I think there's medical applications for LSD, particularly in the treatment of alcoholism. But that's the point of the poll there, is people got it pretty accurate with LSD. With ecstasy, 42% said it's Schedule 1, 43% said it should be Schedule 1. With ibogaine, 37% said it's Schedule 1, 39% said it should be Schedule 1. Cocaine is one area where they misidentified the schedule. 46% of the people said it was Schedule 1 and should be Schedule 1, but cocaine is actually a Schedule 2 drug. Doctors all across the United States can prescribe cocaine in certain circumstances. Heroin, half the people said it's Schedule 1, and half the people said it should be. And meth, again, they made the mistake here. 45% said it's Schedule 1, and 48% said it should be Schedule 1. But actually, meth is a Schedule 2 drug. Methamphetamines are Schedule 2. They can be prescribed all throughout the United States. Marijuana is the one that they completely missed. When asked what schedule it should be in, what schedule it's currently in, nearly identical numbers of people said 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And when asked what it should be,
the overwhelming plurality of 22% said it should not be classified at all. Every other drug, the people pretty much agreed on both sides of the scale, but when it came to marijuana, most people thought it should not be classified.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
I don't know what that little guitar riff was there in there. Sometimes Liebermeter likes to surprise me, but it's 20 after, folks. That means it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. Everywhere except here in Arizona, where they don't do that stupid daylight savings time. Here I was looking forward to a 4:20 in hour one. I gotta wait a whole nother hour. So get started without me. Be right back after this.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabat since 2012.
Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor or are you smoking sun grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everybody. Today in the Data Mines, we're going to talk about some new information that we are getting from the World Health Organization that has just released its most recent report on cannabis use, actually drug use, alcohol, tobacco, cannabis, other drugs, throughout the world. And in this particular report, they list 42 different countries in North America and Europe, not including the United States, but 42 different countries where they surveyed and found out what was the average teenage cannabis use. And the news coming out of this report is that France is now the country of those 42 listed with the highest number of 15-year-olds who had used cannabis. They're finding that 16% of 15-year-old boys in France admitted that they had used cannabis in the last 30 days. Among girls, the figure was 14%. In England, it's just 9% of boys and 8% of girls. In Wales, it was 7% of boys, 8% of girls. The Netherlands, which famously has the coffee shops all throughout Amsterdam and most major cities, had just 9% of the boys saying they had smoked it in the last 30 days. The pattern for all of the countries, or almost all of the countries, was that the cannabis smoking among the males was greater than the cannabis smoking among the females. And as you look at this data, some interesting charts. As far as lifetime use of marijuana, France also takes the top spot with
between 26 and 29% of their 15-year-olds who had ever tried cannabis, 29% being the boys. They were tied with Estonia and Switzerland as the countries with 29% who had ever tried cannabis in their lifetime. I thought it would be interesting to compare this to what we find in the United States. Now, the data sets aren't quite apples to apples in this circumstance. The World Health Organization is surveying 15-year-olds. In the United States, this is done by grade levels in a report called Monitoring the Future that's done annually by the University of Michigan since 1975. In that survey, they survey 8th graders, 10th graders, and 12th graders. So the age ranges aren't quite identical. I would figure that someone in 12th grade is 17 to 18 years old. Someone in 10th grade would be 15 to 16 years old, and someone in 8th grade would be 13 to 14 years old. So there's some overlap in the ages, but I think this gives us a touchstone where we can compare. Remember that the top rates that we're finding in Europe among France, Switzerland, and Estonia, 29% lifetime use among their 15-year-olds. In the United States, the lifetime use of marijuana amongst the 10th graders, again, the 15 and 16 years old, is 31%. I don't think that's too far different from what we're seeing in France, Estonia, and Switzerland, given that there will be some 16-year-olds in this cohort that are going to bump the number up a little bit. When we compare the monthly use of cannabis, as mentioned, France has the 16% that are using it every 30 days among the boys. We're going to stick with just talking about the boys for now. And Canada is close behind. Now, this is interesting as well because in the prior survey in 2010, Canada was the number one country, followed by the United States among teen monthly cannabis consumers. Now, France is number one, followed by Canada, but the United States was not put in this survey. So for comparison's sake, let's find out what the monthly cannabis use is amongst 10th graders in the United States. And when we look, we find that the monthly use in the United States is about 14.8%. So France is actually overtaken the United States as the number one country in the world, at least of those surveyed, as far as teenage marijuana use goes. Now, it's another apples to oranges comparison when we talk about United States, where we already have 4 states where marijuana is legal and 23 where medical use is allowed. France, not the same situation going on there, obviously. But what should be noted for those of us here in the United States that are proponents of marijuana legalization is that the legalization of marijuana does not seem to be increasing any of these numbers for the kids. In the United States, for lifetime cannabis use, has a 10th grader ever smoked pot in his life? In 2010, that figure was 33.4%. One-third of the 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds in the United States had tried pot. That figure has dropped now to 31.1% as of 2015. And that, of course, is after legalizing in 4 states. The annual use rates amongst those 10th graders back in 2010 was 27.5%. Today, 2015, most recent data, 25.4%. That monthly use, back in 2010, when the United States was second behind Canada, the rate was 16.7%. That rate today, 14.8%. And even if we look at the daily use of marijuana by 10th graders, it's dropped from 3.3% to 3.0%. So any of these scares that you're hearing lately about legalizing marijuana is going to open it up to the kids, or passing medical marijuana is a slippery slope that's going to lead to teenagers smoking pot, the data are not confirming that. Everything we can see so far since the advent of marijuana legalization in the United States have pointed to steady or declining numbers of American kids that are using cannabis. And we shouldn't be surprised by that. You legalize cannabis, you force dealers to check ID, and you make marijuana into mom and dad's boring old drug that no kid in his right mind wants to try. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got Kevin Mamalji from National Normal on the line. We're going to talk about the Normal Membership Drive. Stick around.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's TheSilverTour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from TheSilverTour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. We are live in Scottsdale, Arizona at the headquarters of CannabisRadio.com. It's 3:32 Arizona time, and joining us by Skype, we've got Kevin Mamalji from National Normal. Kevin, how are you, sir? Hello, Kevin. Okay, we've somehow lost Kevin. Are you there, Kevin? Kevin, can you hear me okay? Not hearing me? All right, let's see if we can figure out why that is the case. Hold on one quick moment. Kevin Mamalji is the National Outreach Coordinator for Normal, and he joins us here by Skype. Hello, Kevin, are you there?
Hey, Russ, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. Had a little glitch in my Skype, but it's all good now.
Right on.
All right. So we've got you here today, of course, because National Normal is putting together a membership drive. And of course, 2016 is the landmark year, the tipping point year for marijuana legalization. Give folks the details on what's going on with the membership drive.
Well, of course, this is going to be our second. We're planning a membership drive towards the end of the summer. It's going to be similar to what we did last year in 2015, but as you just mentioned, we're looking to capitalize off of the excitement surrounding the 2016 election. Last year, we put together a membership drive with the help of normal chapters from around the country. And within a short period of time, I believe it was just about 10 days, we pulled in over 700 members for the national organization. And so, based off, you know, just seeing that success and doing it our first go around, we decided to come back in 2016 and aim high and do something similar, but reach out to some new partners. We had some great sponsors for last year's membership drive. We're looking to reach out to other companies that would like to partner with Normal on this venture. And so hopefully we'll have, you know, some really good membership packages put together, but then also other incentives such as giveaways, ticket giveaways to the Cannabis Cup or to different musical events in your area. So it should be really exciting. And again, it's going to be not just an effort, you know, pushed by the national office. We're going to be working with our local chapters to, you know, tap into their networks and really feed some folks up to the national level. And, you know, so it's a great opportunity for us to work with our folks on the local level.
So this sounds as if it's not just a membership drive for the average cannabis consumer to join on a personal level, but also to bring in some of the new emerging cannabis industries to get involved in activism. Do I got that right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's opportunities all across the board. I mean, we've seen in Texas and, you know, in Florida, there's been some cannabis conferences and, you know, it's definitely something that's relevant nowadays, whereas, you know, just, you know, better than most. I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, we didn't really have, you know, cannabis conferences popping up in non-legal states. And so, with, you know, through our membership drive, we offer the opportunity for, businesses in these states and, you know, that are operating in multiple states, I should say, that want to market or promote their products to cannabis consumers across the country. So, yeah.
Excellent. That's great to hear, because I think one of the problems that I've seen in the emergence of marijuana legalization being out here on the West Coast is a lot of people lining up to make money, not recognizing the history that got them to that point, not recognizing that without activism, there is no marijuana market. And if they don't kick back to legalizing it in other states through Normal and other organizations, they're not going to be able to expand their market beyond their state.
Right. No, I completely agree. And, you know, to be honest with you, on my personal Facebook page, I've caught some grief from people after expressing kind of the same you know, attitude towards people that are quick to run towards the cannabis industry without looking at, you know, how we got here. And they take it as an attack on capitalism, as if, you know, I'm a fan, as somebody that doesn't like money. But, you know, that's not the case. I encourage everybody to, you know, jump at the opportunity to make money in this emerging industry. But, you know, as you said, we got to kick back and support industry, support the organizations that are continuing the fight in these states that, you know, there is no market. And so, you know, I agree with the idea that the more that these companies, these cannabis businesses kick back to organizations such as Normal, we'll have the opportunity to open up new markets for them, you know, and that's just a natural progression of legalization. So.
We're speaking with Kevin Mamalji. He's the National Outreach Coordinator for Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. You can learn more at normal.org. So what's the launch date for this membership drive?
It's we're looking at, it's not set in stone yet, but we're looking at early August, kind of wrapping up the end of summer membership drive. So the reason being is we got a lot going on. We have our Normal legislative fly-in coming up. You know, of course, 420 is going to be a big day or a big week, I should say, because it falls on a Wednesday. We have a lot of stuff going on at the local level through our chapters. So we decided that it would be best just to really hold off on the membership drive until we could focus the majority of our time on it to make sure it's as successful as the last one. So we're looking at, I would say, the first week of August, but we'll be releasing some teaser, you know, some teasers here and there, and we'll definitely have some more information in the coming months. But just make sure and keep an eye out on our Facebook page and Twitter at Normal. So,
do you have a date for that legislative fly-in?
The 22nd and 23rd of May.
Of May, 22nd, 23rd of May. That's just getting that. Okay, so the 22nd's a Sunday.
22nd. I'm pulling it up. I apologize.
But I want to make sure people know this, because when they're making their donations
absolutely
to Normal,
I
this
apologize.
Is.
So yeah, we do have it. It kicks off on the 22nd, which is on a Sunday. That's the pre-registration event. There's going to be kind of a happy hour with some type of music, you know, a band or a local venue, a local band or something like that. And then we're going to kick off the actual It's going to be a combination of a conference and a lobby day. And so Monday is going to be the conference portion. So Monday, the 23rd, registration will be open at 8 a.m. Folks could join us there, and it's going to be a lineup of speakers. We're still in the process of confirming some of those folks, so I don't want to say too much at this point, but I can tell you it's definitely, even for myself, it's there's some exciting names there being tossed around. So, you know, looking forward to that for sure. And then on May 24th, that's a Tuesday, we'll be meeting on Capitol Hill to lobby members of Congress on the various pieces of marijuana legislation that are pending in the House and the Senate.
That's fantastic. And if you guys need anybody that's really good at PowerPoint, I know a guy. but I did want to tell the listeners that I did this normal DC fly-in last year, last May, and it was remarkable. Even as, you know, embedded as I am in the marijuana movement, it was still exciting to get out there with, you know, I tailed the delegation from the South because I thought, you know, they got the hardest road to hoe. Right. So I'll tail them. And it was really fascinating listening to the discussions and, you know, meeting with these legislators, these congressmen one-on-one. It'll change your perspective on how things are done. So I'd encourage people to check out normal.org, sign up, become a normal member, because your dollars help to support so much. I mean, besides that event, there's the normal Aspen Legal Seminar where your pot lawyer is going to learn all the tricks he needs to keep you free.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the money is going to help in many ways. And in addition to, you know, the money that folks can contribute, once you become a member, it gives you the opportunity to work with our local chapters and to also reach out to our national office and, you know, look to us as a resource. If you're looking to say you want to start a local a decriminalization ordinance in your city or something like that, our team is willing to help all of our folks. So, you know, it's just one of the many advantages of becoming a member of our organization.
Now, a lot of people out there may have a local chapter of Normal, like DFW Normal or Portland Normal or Philly Normal out there. Give people an idea the difference in like why there's a local and there's a national and what supporting one will do versus the other and should they join both? I mean, kind of flesh that out for us.
Well, you know, it's been an ongoing debate, to be quite honest with you. At one point there was, we did provide the opportunity to split, membership dues on the local level and with the national office, but that, you know, became too much of a logistical challenge. So right now, the memberships, the way they're set up is, they're pretty much independent of one another, but that's not to say that one organization, say our national office, isn't going to turn away someone that's not, on our list of members, you know, so if somebody that's affiliated with DFW Normal, as you just mentioned, is looking for support on a specific issue, regardless if they're a member with the national office or not, we'll still provide the support that they need. It's really what the person, where they want their money to go, to be honest with you. We have each one of our normal organizations are set up as independent organizations. They have their own articles of incorporation, bylaws, and board of directors. So they're their own entity. We're here simply for guidance, to offer support. Of course, most of us are familiar with Paul Armentano. He's our deputy director. He's constantly putting together legislative alerts and different actions that we can take as cannabis activists, you know, to further the fight. And so, you know, we're definitely one, we're working together, but we do maintain that independent status. And that's just for the purpose of folks being able to maintain their taxes and their bank accounts independently from the national organization. So, and again, it goes to where you want your money to go. For example, when you contribute to the national organization, we're going to be focusing most of our efforts on making sure there's always a presence on Capitol Hill, someone pushing for marijuana consumers for common sense marijuana reforms. But then also, you know, if you want to see something done on the local level, we have several of our chapters, you know, Denver Normal's pushing their private pot club initiative. Kansas City Normal is pushing a decriminalization initiative. If you want to contribute and support your local efforts, you know, that's where I would definitely recommend you go and you contribute money to those efforts, because I can tell you they definitely need every penny they can get and all the help. So if you're looking at having an impact on both, then by all means, sign up for the local and the national organization.
All right, Kevin Mamalji from National Normal, thanks for joining us, and we'll get you on in the future for more updates here from National Normal. And go to normal.org, folks. Join now. Thanks, Kevin. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 80 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Today in the Radical Rant, I want to talk about the Oregon legislature, which has just completed its short session and has once again made significant changes to the marijuana laws in the Beaver State. And by all appearances, it seems like the legislature's goal has been to merge the medical and recreational marijuana systems in the state into one system. I think that's a fantastic idea. I think that would be great not just for the recreational consumers, but for the medical consumers as well, especially those in the Portland, Oregon area. Now, looking back at what the legislature has done, we have to go back to the previous session. And in the previous session, they passed what was called the Early Sales Bill. And that law allowed the existing medical marijuana dispensaries to sell to all adults 21 and over, whether they have a medical marijuana card or not. But the sales are limited to just 7 grams of cannabis flower and 4 seedlings. And that was done so that there would still be plenty of flower for patients who can buy up to an ounce. And then the edibles, tinctures, and concentrates, those were not being sold. Those are not allowed to be sold out of medical dispensaries to recreational consumers, only for the medical consumers. Again, with the idea that they're more likely to need those products. Now, this was a laudable move. This was motivated by one of the Eastern Oregon senators named Ted Ferrioli, who observed that if we're legal to possess and grow as of July 1st, 2015, and then had nowhere to acquire marijuana, we would just simply support the black market until our recreational shops open, which is expected to be September of 2016. So what has happened instead is that there are some people who are satisfied with the 7-gram flower purchases, but others find that a short drive across the Columbia River into Vancouver, Washington, takes you to multiple shops that will sell you a full ounce at far lower prices than what you'll find in Portland. And the shops in Washington will also sell you edibles, tinctures, and concentrates. So this session, the legislature continued this process of merging the two systems. There have been some laws passed. Some of these have been passed by the House and Senate, have yet to be signed by the governor. Others have already been signed by the governor. But what they've tried to do in merging the two systems is, first, they passed this law that allows the existing dispensaries that are currently early selling to all customers, right? These existing dispensaries would be able to add edibles, tinctures, and concentrates to the menu for all shoppers. Another portion made it so that the future recreational shops that open up in September are going to be able to sell their products to medical marijuana patients tax-free. And another proposal creates new licenses that allow for micro-canopy grows, you know, small-scale growers, and for nonprofit dispensaries to continue purchasing that product from medical growers. Understand that in the state of Oregon, they have a system of medical dispensaries that get their product from the medical growers who are supposed to be just the caregivers for their individual patients. And the legislature wants to make sure that that outlet still exists for some of these medical growers. So if you take all this together and all these bills get signed by the governor, then what that means is that sometime this fall, there will be one building called a dispensary where anybody can go in and purchase marijuana products, but patients get to make those purchases tax-free. Then there will be another building called a pot shop where anybody can go in and purchase marijuana products, but patients get to make those purchases tax-free. The recreational products will come from recreational grows that'll be regulated by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, or OLCC, and the medical products will come from medical grows to be regulated by the Oregon Health Authority, or OHA. These nearly identical parallel systems for producing, regulating, inspecting, distributing, testing marijuana, all they're going to do is add unnecessary costs to the taxpayers and unnecessary paperwork for cannabis entrepreneurs and caregivers. So merging the two only makes logical sense. Now, there have been some criticisms of this. One criticism I've heard is that the idea of this merging is problematic because patients have much more sensitive needs for their medicine. I have patient advocates tell me that, well, they can't bear to have pesticide contaminants or mold contaminants or mildew contaminants, and they can't have medicine that's of lower quality. It has to be potent medicine. And when I hear that as a recreational consumer, to me it sounds like, yeah, it's okay for you to be poisoned by lousy weed, but not us patients. So here's my proposal. Make the inspection and quality standards for marijuana products high enough to qualify for patients. I guarantee you, us recreational consumers will not mind getting clean, powerful weed. Another criticism that I hear is, well, if we don't have a medical-only system, there's going to be a lack of patient-specific products, like say, high CBD oils or salves. But that's not how supply and demand works. Look, folks, if there's a huge demand for, I don't know, vacuum cleaners, it wouldn't matter if there was a dedicated vacuum cleaner shop in your town or a Walmart with a vacuum cleaner section. If people want to buy vacuum cleaners or high CBD oils, Supply and demand dictates that someone will sell it to them. It doesn't matter what building it is where it gets sold. A third criticism that I've heard is that there's going to be a lot of places in Oregon, mostly Eastern Oregon, where they're going to outright ban any sort of recreational marijuana, but they might allow for a medical marijuana shop. Well, what's the difference between the dispensary and the pot shop? What's the difference between the patient and the pothead? The only difference is the patient possesses the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program card, the OMMP card. So in the future, bans of recreational marijuana would just be a requirement for an OMMP card to enter a pot shop. It would accomplish the same purpose, banning the recreational consumers from being able to go into a building and buy weed. It would maintain one system of pot shops and licensing, and you'd still have the OMMP card so that only patients could get in. And there's actually another really good reason why we want to merge these systems, and that's the issue of location. Currently in Oregon, there are over 250 medical marijuana dispensaries, and all those dispensaries have to be 1,000 feet away from schools and parks and playgrounds and all those typical locations. That means all the medical dispensaries have already poached all the best locations in any given town. If new pot shops for recreational consumers have to be separate buildings, and they have to be 1,000 feet from the medical dispensaries and all the other schools and everything, then all that does is puts the recreational shops way out on the faraway fringes of the industrial zones, if anywhere, in any given town. So, let's let there be just one entity that licenses, regulates, and inspects and sells marijuana in the state of Oregon. Now, I'd prefer it was a new cannabis-only commission stocked with people who've actually used cannabis rather than the current squares on the OLCC. But regardless, let's let there just be one entity. Let there just be one universal system of grows, processors, extractors, testers, and retailers to serve both the patients and the potheads alike. Now, that's not to disregard the patient's needs. We'll still have an OMMP system that will still issue cards to patients. That card, when you show it at a universal pot shop, gets you a tax-free purchase and allows you to purchase in greater quantities. It allows the patient to maintain greater home grow allowances and to maintain greater public possession. It allows the patients and their caregivers to sell excess marijuana to the nonprofit OLCC shops. It also provides that out-of-state coverage in the other medical marijuana states like Arizona and Nevada that have reciprocity. That's it. One system to rule them all and medical marijuana cards to give special privileges and tax-free purchases. Why does this need to be so difficult? And furthermore, as we follow up on that news of GW Pharmaceuticals and their Epidiolex passing its phase 3 trials, remember that the path of medical marijuana leads to GW Pharmaceuticals. Medical use of cannabis will eventually become standardized into sprays, tinctures, inhalers, pills. That's the direction of medicine. Medicine likes to be accurate and consistent and dose dependent. If you want access to whole plant cannabis in order to treat your medical conditions, you are going to have to get used to the idea of fighting for recreational legalization. Only recreational legalization will protect the rights of all consumers to use whole plant cannabis. I bet you when GW Pharmaceuticals gets this through and gets FDA approval, you'll start to see some of these medical marijuana states, especially in the East, start to pull plant cannabis off their shelves of their dispensaries and replace it with Sativex and Epidiolex and whatever else they come up with next. If you want whole plant, you need to fight for legalization. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned. Hour two, Toker Talk Radio is coming up next. We'll take your phone calls at 971-533-7111. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio Studios in Scottsdale, Arizona, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.